open your medicine cabinet. Go ahead, just, you know, visualize it for a second.
Picture the shelves.
Right. Grab that plastic orange bottle of painkillers, or maybe one of those foil blister packs. You hold that in your hand and you think, I mean, you think you're looking at modern 21st century lab science, aren't you?
Absolutely. It feels engineered.
Completely sterile.
Yeah.
But what if I told you that you might actually be holding, like, a synthesized piece of ancient woodland knowledge that the cutting-edge science you rely on to cure your headache or fight off a deadly infection is, in many cases, just a very recent translation of something humans have been testing in the wild for thousands of years.
It completely flips the script on how we view medical history. I mean, we are so conditioned to view modern medicine and ancient healing as these two totally separate, almost opposing timelines, you know?
Right, like the primitive past is over here and the advanced laboratory is over there.
Exactly. But the reality is that the laboratory owes its entire existence to the land. They are deeply, deeply interconnected.
Okay, let's unpack this, because our mission today for this deep dive into ancestral healing, global traditions, and modern healthcare is to explore how traditional ancient medicine isn't just a, you know, a quaint relic of the past. It's the very foundation of modern healthcare, and it's this living, evolving science.
Yeah.
But I want to push back right away.
Sure.
When a lot of people hear the phrase traditional medicine, they immediately think of placebos.
Right.
Comforting rituals.
Yeah.
Old wives' tales. How much of this is actual measurable pharmacology versus just a cultural practice that makes people feel better?
It is a fair question, and the World Health Organization actually sets a very rigorous baseline for this. They define traditional medicine as a massive range of knowledge and practices used to maintain health, as well as to prevent, diagnose, and treat illness.
Okay.
So yes, it absolutely includes cultural beliefs and spiritual healing, but it is heavily grounded in highly complex ethnobotanical science.
Like actual biology.
Exactly. We are talking about Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and incredibly localized herbal pharmacology. It's an immense overlapping system of physical intervention.
So we aren't just talking about, like, drinking some chamomile tea to calm your nerves.
No, not at all.
But even so, there's a temptation to think this is only relevant if you live 100 miles from the nearest pharmacy. Like, it's a backup plan for when you can't get real medicine.
And that is probably the biggest misconception out there today. I mean, even in highly industrialized nations, there is a massive, measurable surge of interest in holistic, preventative, and community-based approaches to health.
Really? Like a measurable surge?
Oh, yeah. People are actively seeking out integrative medicine, and it's not out of desperation or a lack of pharmacies. It reflects a growing realization that while modern biomedicine is absolutely fantastic for acute trauma,
like a broken leg,
right, or a heart attack, it sometimes falls short when it comes to chronic conditions and long-term well-being.
Which brings us to the core tension of this deep dive. Why should we, living in an era of, you know, supercomputers and gene editing, focus on traditional medicine when we have modern, highly funded pharmaceutical labs?
Because long before recorded history, human societies were essentially conducting the largest, longest, continuous clinical trial ever conceived.
I love that framing.
Yeah, they used their local ecosystems as the laboratory. They passed that accumulated knowledge down through oral traditions and really rigorous apprenticeships. This was not a guessing game.
It wasn't just throwing leaves in a pot.
No. It was an incredibly methodical system of observation, trial, error, and refinement stretched out over millennia.
Let's ground that in something concrete, because the sheer scale of that clinical trial is hard to wrap your head around. Let's talk about aspirin, probably the most common drug on the planet.
Aspirin is the perfect bridge between the forest and the pharmacy. The active ingredient we rely on today emerged directly from compounds found in willow bark. Yeah, for centuries. Across Europe and other parts of the world, traditional healers were administering willow bark to treat fever and severe inflammation. They knew exactly what it did.
They just didn't call it salicylic acid.
Exactly. Modern chemists simply stepped in, isolated the specific chemical compound that the traditional healers already knew worked, and synthesized it to mass produce it. Another really profound example from the source material is the anti-malarial drug artemisinin.
Which is a massive deal, right?
It has literally saved millions of lives globally.
Right, and this wasn't invented from scratch in a test tube either.
Not at all. It was developed from a plant called sweet wormwood, or Artemisia annua. Traditional Chinese medicine practitioners had been utilizing this specific plant to treat fevers for ages.
Just casually curing malaria before we even knew what it was.
Basically. When modern scientists finally analyzed it, they realized the plant compounds react uniquely with the high iron concentrations inside the malaria parasite. It essentially creates free radicals that destroy the parasite from the inside out.
That is wild.
The ancient practitioners didn't need to know the molecular mechanism of free radicals, right? They observed the clinical outcome over centuries and perfected the dosage.
It's incredible. It's like finding out the latest smartphone's operating system was actually coded 1,000 years ago by people observing nature.
Yeah.
We just slapped a sleek aluminum case on it and called it an invention.
That's a great analogy.
We're totally coasting on ancestral research and development.
We are. And the WHO actually views these ancient knowledge systems as a crucial source for potential future therapies, especially when you look at healthy aging and disease prevention.
Because they have that massive data set.
Exactly. Traditional healers were observing health outcomes over generations. A standard 6-month modern clinical trial simply cannot replicate that kind of long-term data.
So if we know these systems work and that our modern medicine cabinet is basically a highly processed version of the forest floor, how are different cultures actually applying this knowledge today? Because if you look globally, the sheer diversity of these practices is completely fascinating. Rather than just taking a quick tour of the map, let's look at the actual communities like Africa and Asia.
Oh, the diversity is staggering. Let's look at Africa first. Communities in Ethiopia use hundreds of different medicinal plant species, but what's really interesting is they apply the exact same sophisticated botanical science to treat their livestock as they do themselves.
Which makes total sense. If your herd gets sick, your community starves.
Exactly. Or look at the Mosop community in Kenya's Nandi County. They have incredibly sophisticated dosage practices.
It's specialized medical knowledge.
Highly specialized.
Yeah.
And then moving to Asia, you have traditional Chinese medicine, so herbal, dietary acupuncture, utilized heavily by ethnic communities like the Jolao, the Yi, the Miao, and the Hakka.
It's just so deeply embedded.
It is. And we can't forget India's Ayurveda or the incredibly complex tribal systems in places like Mizoram and Assam.
Okay, but when you look at regions in Southeast Asia, like Thailand or the Philippines, you see a completely different dynamic.
Yes.
Wait, so in these systems, is a regular bowl of soup technically considered medicine?
What's fascinating here is that nutrition and healing are inseparable in these traditional systems.
Right, because think about how we treat food here. We eat whatever we want, and then when we get sick, we take a pill.
Right, the reactionary model.
Yeah, but in these cultures, you're saying a bowl of soup is literal medical intervention.
A soup infused with specific medicinal plants serves dual roles. It's carefully calibrated to maintain physiological balance and boost the immune system constantly. You consume your medicine every single day to stay well.
That completely flicks our whole healthcare model upside down.
It really does. But this isn't just happening in, you know, remote tropical areas. This knowledge evolved everywhere, even in Europe.
Right. The source material mentioned Bulgaria, didn't it?
Yes. During the recent COVID-19 pandemic, Bulgarian communities were documented relying heavily on traditional herbal remedies for symptom management.
Wow, so right in the middle of a modern global crisis.
Exactly. And you see similar adaptations of traditional plant knowledge in the Italian Alps. It's everywhere.
Let's bring it closer to the modern West then. Indigenous healing systems in North America.
Yes, groups like the Cherokee, the Cree, and the Haudenosaunee.
Because their definition of healing goes way beyond a physical pill, right?
Right.
It involves ceremony and environmental stewardship.
Absolutely. The holistic approach is central. For example, there are studies looking at how Cree communities traditionally manage conditions like diabetes. It's not just about handing out a plant to lower blood sugar.
Right.
It involves the whole person. And the Haudenosaunee use specific local plants known for their antibacterial activity. But again, the healing involves community and repairing the patient's connection to the land.
You can't heal the body without healing the environment it lives in.
Precisely. And there's a really fascinating social dynamic to this too, especially when you look at the Caribbean and Latin America.
Right. Who is actually holding and passing down this immense encyclopedia of knowledge?
Women. Overwhelmingly, women frequently play the central role as custodians of this ethnobotanical knowledge.
Wow.
Whether you look at the Columbala communities in Brazil or the Aymara in Bolivia, women are the primary healthcare providers within the family structure. They act as this continuous matrilineal medical school passing the botanical knowledge down through generations.
Which brings us to a massive collision point.
Yeah.
We have this incredible diverse library of global human knowledge, right? From Ethiopian livestock management to Southeast Asian dietary medicine to the deep botanical knowledge of indigenous women in Brazil. With all these diverse global practices, how does modern science actually evaluate and make sense of them?
Well, modern science attempts to bridge this gap through fields like ethnobotany and ethnopharmacology.
Okay, break that down for us.
Essentially, researchers go into these communities, observe the specific plants being utilized for healing, and bring them back to the laboratory to run phytochemical analyses.
Meaning they strip the plant down to look for biologically active compounds like antimicrobial or anti-cancer properties.
Exactly. They are hunting for the single specific molecule that causes the biological reaction.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because as brilliant as that scientific method is, there is a pretty massive flaw in that purely reductionist approach.
Oh, absolutely.
Science often tries to isolate just the active chemical. It's like trying to understand why a cake is delicious by only eating the baking powder. You're missing the whole recipe, the culture, and the baker.
That is a perfect analogy, because traditional medicine cannot always be reduced to isolated chemicals. Sure. It relies heavily on something called synergy.
Meaning the sum is greater than the parts.
Right. Let's say a traditional healer uses a specific leaf. Modern science extracts the single active painkiller compound. But when they give that pure compound to a patient, it causes severe side effects like stomach ulcers.
Oh, so they think the plant is toxic.
Exactly. But what they miss is that the original whole leaf also contained other compounds that naturally buffered the stomach lining or helped the body absorb the medicine. By isolating one chemical, they destroyed the natural safety net.
You literally strip away the context that makes it work. You can't put a holistic community ritual or a specific diet into a centrifuge.
You really can't. And this realization is driving the growth of integrative medicine.
Integrative medicine.
Yes. It seeks to combine the rigorous evidence-based safety evaluations of conventional medicine with the holistic environmental and cultural context of traditional healing.
Validating the whole cake, not just the baking powder.
Exactly.
But if integrative medicine is the future, we have a massive problem. The raw data, the traditional knowledge itself, is rapidly disappearing.
The ticking clock. Yes, the threats to this knowledge base are severe.
What are the biggest threats highlighted in the source?
First, you have the loss of oral transmission. This intricate botanical knowledge relies entirely on older generations teaching the younger ones. But as younger generations move away from rural communities, that chain breaks.
The knowledge holders are aging out.
And when they pass away, entire encyclopedias vanish. Second, there's massive environmental degradation.
Climate change.
Climate change, aggressive habitat loss. We are physically destroying the plants before we can even catalog them.
And as we rush to catalog it, we run straight into an ethical minefield. So if a modern pharmaceutical company finds a plant in a local community, isolates the compound, and makes a fortune, what happens to the indigenous community that preserved that knowledge for millennia?
That is one of the most pressing legal and ethical frictions right now. Historically, they get cut out entirely.
Which is just fundamentally unfair.
It is. Cultural ownership and fair benefit sharing are massive issues. But on the flip side, public health officials also have to navigate very real safety concerns. Because natural does not automatically mean safe.
Right. You can't just mix ancient roots and modern heart medication.
Exactly. There can be dangerous drug interactions or issues with improper preparation by people outside the tradition. This is why the WHO created its global traditional medicine strategy.
To kind of referee this whole process.
Basically, it aims to improve the safety and evidence base of these remedies, while also integrating this knowledge respectfully and creating legal frameworks to protect indigenous communities.
It's a massive undertaking. Mm. But there's a really fascinating glimmer of hope for how we might actually preserve and map this knowledge before the clock runs out. And it relies on modern tech.
Oh, the tech aspect is amazing. We are seeing advances in AI, biotechnology, and data science being used to understand these ancient remedies.
Using AI to translate biological reactions instead of words?
Exactly. An AI algorithm can map massive ethnobotanical data sets and simulate the synergistic effects of multiple plant compounds in a fraction of the time it would take a human researcher. It's decoding the synergy.
So what does this all mean? We've gone from ancient African ecosystems to European COVID remedies, all the way to AI-powered biological screening. I think the takeaway here is that traditional medicine is not an opposing force to conventional medicine.
Not at all.
It's a vital, living repository of biodiversity and cultural heritage. It offers real solutions for modern problems like chronic disease.
It's an unbroken continuum of human ingenuity.
Absolutely. The next time you, and I mean you, the listener, take a simple painkiller, I want you to remember the thousands of years of human observation, storytelling, and relationship with nature that made it possible. You are participating in an ancient tradition.
And as we look forward, I'll leave you with this final thought based on that modern tech we just discussed. If artificial intelligence and data science are now being deployed to analyze thousands of years of ancestral knowledge, could the most advanced, life-saving medical breakthrough of the 21st century turn out to be a forgotten recipe from a remote village that an algorithm finally manages to translate?
Wow, that is something to think about. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning, keep learning, and we'll catch you next time.